Do you like what we do? Well, let me introduce you to Friends of NEAR. This is a way for you to support the great work of NEAR Media Co-op, which we here at NEAR think will give friends and family the chance to actively support the community media work we just love doing. Joining is easy, and you can find out more at near.ie/friends or by email to friends@near.ie. There's a few T's and C's, but only a few. Promise. Go on. Let's be friends.
On the line now I have Fintan Lawler, our resident solicitor answering your queries from Lawler Partners. Hello, Fintan. Good morning.
Good morning, Noel. How's the form?
Not too bad at all. Chilly enough for you, yeah?
It's a bit fresh, but I think it's quite cold in the States at minus 45 or
wow,
something.
Wow, yeah. I was looking out in the news last night and I can't remember the movie, The Day After Tomorrow or something was on a couple of weeks ago. It was just reminiscent of that.
We can't really complain about the cold and our temperatures given that.
Not at all. A horrible.
Are we getting snow at the weekend?
Well, we might. So there you go. We just have to put up with it, won't we? The kids will love it. Okay, I'm going to give you a first question. It's a bit convoluted and long, so bear with me.
Okay.
I'm very conscientious about paying my bills and I've maintained a good credit rating. Now, I was an EIR customer for a number of years and then I decided to switch providers. I settled the balance on my account and returned their modem according to their request and in the time frame that they requested it be returned. Now, I received a bill for the modem not being returned, but provided them with the receipt from the post office. I was told it would be settled and I owed nothing. They told me it was settled and I would be owe nothing further. But then shortly after, I received a call from a debt collecting agency. EAR had transferred modem charge to them. Now I'm horrified that this has gone to debt collection. What's my recourse and can I take action to restore my good name? That's a strange one.
That's
I think
a
it's just,
question, though.
I know, but I get the feeling to an extent. It's like when you get some, when you ring up a bell or when you get a bill and they say, oh, sorry, it's just the system and computers handle
it. I think the listener was saying that they paid their bills, they returned the modem, they then got charged for not returning the modem and they produced a post office receipt. And then it still went to a debt collection agency. So it looks like the system and practice and procedures weren't properly in place with air. But in any event, the listener has recourse. It is a defamation of character. We've discussed it before on the programme.
Mm-hmm.
And defamation of character is what would change somebody else's perception of you in the eyes of somebody else. So this debt collection agency obviously think that this lady doesn't pay her bills, can't afford to pay her bills, isn't of good standing, hasn't the finances to discharge her debts. All of that, when in fact all of that's untrue and incorrect, according to what she's saying.
Okay.
Which is that she returned the bill, so she should absolutely write to them, Noel, and say that she's very disappointed at how she's been treated, and that she's demanding an apology, and she should seek some offer of recompense for the stress and anxiety and embarrassment caused by air,
mm-hmm.
And see what they say. I think that she should get the apology, and I think that if she gets a few bob in the couple of €100 range, maybe, 400 to 800 euros, she should probably take it and move on, put it behind her. It's a start of a new year, it's a start mm-hmm. of spring today. She doesn't really want to be bringing a load of grief with her
mm-hmm.
into the new year, but at the same time, she's entitled to something for the way she's been treated.
Okay, and would the show that, the way they check on people, would the show that show up on... As she said herself, she always had a good credit rating. Would that show up on her credit rating that she had owed money at some stage?
My understanding is probably not.
Mm-hmm.
That the ICB, the Irish Credit Bureau, would normally, certainly if you're in the default of a loan or a mortgage or something like that, mm-hmm. it would show up. But this seems to be a kind of one-off money due to air for a modem.
Okay.
So I don't think that would show.
Okay. And the other
it's more the fact that she said at the start that she's a conscientious person and she always pays her bills.
Yeah, I think it's more of a first peace of mind for her more than that. And else, a lot of older people are like that as well. I shouldn't assume that she's old, but a lot of Irish people are like that. They sort of like to get their debts out of the way so they don't have to think about it. Two things about it, Fintan. If they start to say, okay, we're sorry and that's it, but that's all you're going to get is an apology, you know, should she be happy with that, or should she go and, I mean, she sent a question into us to ask you, but should she legitimately go and see a solicitor and say, listen, I think they should give me something here.
I think they should give her something. I think it'd be very sheepish if they don't give her something.
Mm-hmm.
They have caused her, as you say, she sent in a question to a radio show, so they have caused her some level of grief, some level of anxiety, concern, and it's not good enough, I think, at this stage to say, yeah, we're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it shouldn't have happened. These people have a huge amount of resources, and they have a huge amount of money, and they have a huge amount of staff to deal with these issues. So, I mean, it shouldn't be arising. Maybe the mistake once, which is fine, but then she corrected him and sent him in a post office receipt.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it should have finished there. And no, it didn't finish there, but then they went off and sent it to a third party.
Okay.
Which is a breach of our data protection rights, I would say, giving her information to another person or another organisation. They then believe that this person can't pay their debts, can't foot the bill, aren't honourable, don't pay their way, and they start writing out looking for the money that's not properly due.
Mm-hmm.
But no, absolutely, if she only gets an apology, I think that she probably should contact this solicitor and see can she do something about
indeed.
It.
Indeed, because it sounds like she's gone through some anguish and torment over this, so she should, yeah, indeed, take her advice on that. Okay, a second one is back to the old wills. My mother died recently and my brother is executor, but he's been sneaky and not telling me anything about what's going on. Should I contact a solicitor?
Well, that's a good question. I don't normally recommend, where there's family involved and there's a will involved, that people should go to a solicitor that quickly. So I think if they feel the brother's being sneaky, I think that they probably should contact the brother, either by letter or by email or by conversation, and just say, listen, I'd like more information in relation to what's happening, in relation to Mam's estate. What stage are we at? What assets are there? What liabilities are there? So on and so forth. And if that doesn't happen, then they can possibly consider going to a solicitor, but hopefully they'll be able to resolve it without going for a solicitor, because when you get legals involved, they can tend to get a little bit of, you know, angst or animosity can build up, and it can be tricky in order to deal with people legally.
Yeah, it's a bit like a divorce.
I'm recommending that as a first port of call.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
We don't have enough information in that question, though, to know how the executor is being sneaky.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not being smart.
I know.
It
yeah.
It could
yeah.
simply be the case that the executor has done very little, and it's the absence of knowledge that the listener
mm-hmm.
feels. Oh, I don't know what's going on, and I haven't been told what's going on, and the executor's been sneaky, when in fact there might be nothing going on at all. So I think as a first port of call, that they should try and engage with the executor,
mm-hmm.
and see can they get some questions answered.
Just ask.
It's possible that the person who put in the question, Noel, isn't the beneficiary in the estate. I know they said it was the mother and that the brother's the executor. But let's talk hypothetically,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know whether this is a male or female, but let's just say it's two brothers, and let's just say that one brother is the executor, and let's just say that the other brother is the person who posed the question.
Mm-hmm.
If that brother didn't receive anything in relation to his mum's estate, well, then he's not actually entitled information from the brother who's an executor. He may as well be you or me, Noel. He may mm-hmm. as well be a stranger to the estate, and then he's saying, hang on, Mr. Executor, you're being very sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Executor's saying, hang on, it's no business of yours.
Okay.
But
should he not
a beneficiary in the estate.
So I know, but should
not
he not
entitled to know the information.
Okay. He shouldn't say to him, sorry, buddy, but you got nothing. That's the information that you give.
Yeah, he probably should say, obviously, there's an expectation, Noel, where your mum or dad dies, or your child of the
Anyway, I suppose the best thing to do is just have a chat for us and see what the story is. Oh, Fintan's gone off there. Okay, we'll play a bit of music there and we'll try and get Fintan back on. Okay. There you go, and as promised, have Fintan back on. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. The gremlins in the studio already, the 1st of February. Okay, we got down to the second question. A bit of a communication, I think, is the best thing there, as far as that. And the third question is to do with wills as well. My best friend has died and she has named me as executor in her will. She was married and she didn't have a property. sorry, she was married and didn't have much property or money. Where do I start? Do I have to take the job? And if I do, do I need to appoint a solicitor? We'd something similar to this before. Can you hear me, Fintan? Sorry.
It's a fairly simple question in respect of the role of an executor.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you said the best friend had died and that she was married, so that doesn't really have a role to play, although a lot of people when they're married will make their spouse their executor, or their executrix, as the case may be. In this circumstance, she went with the best friend as the executor. Sometimes the spouses can feel very hard to do with Noel. So if you have a husband and wife in and they want to make the will, and the husband wants to appoint a wife as the executrix or the executor, mm-hmm. it may be a case that you might say, are you sure that your wife would be capable of taking this job on if she's dealing with your passing? Or are you better to put it one step removed? So this person put it one step removed and went with the friend. The friend is wondering where does she start, which I'll come back to. Do I have to take the job and do I need to appoint a solicitor, was asked. They don't need to appoint a solicitor, they can do it themselves.
Okay.
And the probate officer are very, very helpful. They're really, really good now with personal applicants. So if somebody comes in and said, listen, I'm an executor and I'm making this application by myself in order to extract a grant, can I have some help in relation to paperwork or form filling or how does the process work? They're very, very good with that. So they don't need to appoint a solicitor. They can if they want, but it'll cost money. So
okay, can I just ask you there, who did you say is very helpful and where would they go to see them?
That's the probate office in Smithfield in Dublin 7.
Okay.
And they're in Phoenix House. They're in the family law court there, Phoenix House, Smithfield, Dublin 7. It's their probate office. And they're very helpful to personal applicants. So they don't need to go to a solicitor. But they can if it's complicated. But if it's straightforward, they don't need to. That's the first thing.
Okay.
The second thing is they don't have to take the job. You can renounce your role as an executor and stand down, which means, and very often I would say this to people, if they are appointing an executor who's not living in the jurisdiction, and very often I might have, say, a parent and they'd like to appoint the eldest child or the eldest two children as joint executors, and one is in this jurisdiction but one is living in the UK or living abroad, and I'd say, but that's very difficult then to fill in forms and papers and documents and get them lodged here, and they feel, well, I want to because they're the eldest in the family and I don't want to go past them.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, but very often you might have somebody nominated in the UK and they renounce their role as executor. They'll effectively stand down and somebody else then can stand up to the mark or stand into their shoes and fill their shoes. So that's the second question. So that brings us back to the first question, is where do I start? Unfortunately, the starting point is going to be pretty much gathering up all of the assets and the liabilities in respect of the deceased, because they're a little bit removed from the family home in that this person was married. They're probably going to have to go through
mm-hmm.
the spouse and say, hiya, can you help me out here? I need to know a list of the assets and a list of the liabilities and post office account and bank accounts and cars or properties or bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I can put together a schedule of the assets, that then would be a certain amount of money, and then I have to put down a schedule of liabilities, which would include funeral expenses, if there was any wreaths, if there was a wake, if there was tea, if there was sandwiches, if there was a coffin, if there was memorial cards, if there was advertisement in the newspapers, all that sort of stuff are all liabilities that come off the estate. So you have a figure on the assets and then you have a figure on liabilities, and when you deduct the liabilities from the assets, you're left with the net estate. And at that stage, then, you have to distribute the estate in accordance with the will.
Okay.
But you can't distribute the estate until such time as you get your grant of probate. So step one is gather up the information first. Step two is go to the probate office. Step three is get the grant of probate. And step four, then, is administer the estate.
Okay. And I suppose if you happen to... The probate office will tell you about steps 3 and 4 anyway, so they will give you all the information about how to gather information and all like that. It's great that's a great asset to know that's there, I think, for anybody who is made an executor, isn't it?
It is. It's very, very helpful. And we spoke before about this, mm-hmm. Noel, in Northside Community Law Centre. They have a great service there on a Thursday night. They have a kind of citizens advice kind of bureau, and they have some barristers and solicitors there also giving advice. So if the listener wanted to attend there, with, if they're kind of looking for a little bit of direction and guidance, that's also very helpful. It's a good place to start. And of course, they can always go to the solicitor. No, there's no difficulty there. Any solicitor should be able to help. The questionnaire there, just asking what's involved, what are the steps in the process, etc.
Okay, now you're with Lawler and Partners. What's your website, Fintan?
Yeah, website is www.lawlerpartners.ie.
Okay, and if anyone has any queries, do get in touch. Listen, thank you very much, Fintan, for talking to us on the programme this week. Any changes in anything to do with wills, for instance, increases or anything over the past 6 months or anything?
Not really, Noel. I mean, the one that needs to be changed at the moment is the threshold.
Okay.
And the threshold from a parent to child is €320,000 that you can inherit without paying tax. And you pay tax on everything above that at 33%.
Okay.
That's a lot of tax. If you go back maybe 10 years ago, Noel, that threshold, that same threshold was in the region of €500,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the tax over that was 20%.
Yeah.
Like we've moved on 10 years, and that was probably because of the property crash and the recession, but the property prices are coming back
now. I was going to say that, because, I mean, that's a pittance of an allowance when you think of the price of a house, especially in Dublin these days.
Well, if you have a very expensive house in Dublin and it's somewhere in the region of maybe €800,000-€900,000, and you have one child who's going to inherit it,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the tax bill on a €900,000 house is somewhere in the region of it's 33%. You'd be exempt on €300,000. So you're 33% of 600,000, somewhere in the region of €230,000.
Wow.
Some people may have to sell that house in order to come up with the money. And that's wrong, where you have to sell your family home. In order to pay tax.
Yeah.
And so that's one change that really needs to happen.
Yeah. It's terrible, all right, no doubt about it. I was thinking more of you bring it down a little bit and... if the house happened to be, just a couple of thousand over, that you have to make the difference and have to sell the family home just for the sake of maybe €10,000 as well.
Yeah.
People could be pretty stuck. Okay, well, maybe in the next budget they might do something about that. Has there been any representations to anyone about changing it? Do you know the government, like, have they given out any hints or anything that they might increase it?
Yeah, I heard that Jim O'Callaghan is the spokesperson on justice for Fianna Fáil. I heard him making some comment on a radio show recently in relation to it, so hopefully it's beginning to get a bit of traction.
Okay, well, if I get any of them on, I'll ask them about it, but you know the way they him and her, but we'll see what happens anyway. Thanks, welcome back, Fintan, and I look forward to talking to you in a few weeks' time.
Thanks indeed, Noel, take care.
See you, bye.
Bye now.
And that's Fintan Lawler from Lawler Partners, and it's lawlerpartners.ie.